Hello and welcome to Watch the Throne. What a lovely day. This is episode 44, Fate of the Furious, from 2017. I'm Mike Manzi.
And I'm Joey Lewandowski. And Mike, I almost corrected you there. I was like, no, you're introducing the wrong show. This isn't Watch the Throne, but it is Watch the Throne. But,
right,
of
and
course.
I almost introduced myself as Mikester, but not
quite yet. Not yet. As anybody who listens to the show on any regular basis knows, I have a podcast all about The Fast and the Furious, and on that show, my trusty co-host Joe Two and I go through these movies forever, infinity. We're on lap two right now, so we've only covered this movie once, but we couldn't talk about this movie, even if we're talking about it on a different podcast, without bringing in Joe Two. So hello, Joe Two. Welcome to the show. Is this your first Throne, or is this your second Throne?
It's my second. I was on the one with the, oh, shit, what was it? The one with Kramer?
Oh, way back.
Oh, that's what the was one that when called?
Wacky Courtroom. No, but that's the one when Charlize breaks down on the side of the road and ends up living there, and then they also use the dreaded Twinkie defense in that movie. Yeah.
Well, hold on. What is that movie called?
Trial and Error.
Yeah, I said Law and Order, sorry.
Kramer Takes a Day.
I have forgotten so much of
Charlize's
career.
There's much to forget, though. That's why, Joey, much of this, unfortunately, has gone right in one ear and right out the other.
Oh, damn. Sorry, guys.
No, I mean, that was just, that's just kind
of,
you know, that happened. We ran into some of that with Keanu a little bit, but we made sure for the future that it will happen as little as possible.
Word.
We've also talked about, maybe, I don't know if we talked about it on this show, we've definitely talked about it on Too Fast, Too Forever a lot, but Mike is going to be on every episode of Lap 3. So basically, to not spoil our episode
I'm
over there,
so
like, it's
excited
hard to
for
balance
this.
The two.
I'm so excited for Mike's lap. I'm getting, like, really amped for it.
The ride along.
I mentioned on my episode of Foodie Films, which was Soylent Green, that I plugged your show over there because I've been watching every month along with you guys from the comfort of my own car.
Yep.
But, yeah, so as many times as you have seen these movies, I'll have seen these movies when
you know what
I'm on.
You know what I wonder? I wonder if there's a drive-in theater that shows these
get
movies.
Get the fuck out of my head. I was just about to say that shit. You cut me off.
Because, yeah, Mike's saying, you know, enjoying
yes.
the comfort of his own car.
Yep.
Like, just can you imagine, like, a whole crowd of, like, regular cars, but also, like, tuners and American Muscle, just, like...
Oh, it'd be amazing.
A car show that also... There's gotta be. There's a drive-in theater in Pennsylvania, a couple hours from me, that I haven't
been
to,
but they
show...
There's one, like, 40 minutes from me in
Warwick.
Well,
this one, in particular, shows, like, all crazy, cool, like, old, like, horror movies. Like, they show...
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
They have a really... Like, I follow them on Facebook, and they have really interesting stuff that they show. So I feel like if there was a place around here, it could be that kind of place. But man, oh man, like a car show that doubles as like a double feature of, you know, Fast and Furious, like one, like, or five and six, or who knows, like whatever.
You know what
yeah,
we need
guys,
to do?
I mean, when Hobbs and Shaw comes out or when Part 9 comes out, let's hit it up at the drive-in for sure.
Down?
Yes.
And you know what else I want to do? When next time we're like hanging out together, let's just like project it on the like...
The garage door.
Yeah, the garage door of Joey's thing, and we just all sit in the car and watch it from the car.
Yeah, we could do that. Cool. Absolutely.
Good.
So to sort of not spoil the ride-along lap, which it's difficult because this is a Charlize Theron movie, but it also is more a Fast and Furious movie. I feel like I don't want to do that podcast disservice by blowing our proverbial load here by talking about it here. So I think what we've all sort of agreed upon is to just talk about Charlize in this movie. As I talked about on the first lap, and you've asked you forever about this movie, I love a chunk of this movie, and the things that I like, the reason I don't like this movie as much as other people or as much as other movies in the series is because of the Charlize story. It still boggles my mind that I have a Charlize Theron podcast here with Mike, that I have a Fast and Furious podcast with you, and then when those two intersect, it doesn't work because of that reason. Like, it just feels like, for any number of things, but the fact that, like, Charlize, like, the whole, like, not her, but her character story of getting Dom to turn against the family just is what ruins this movie for me. That said, I enjoy this movie more today than I have at any other time, I think because I paid slightly less attention, and so Roman was less annoying to me. I've seen this movie now 3 times in the last 3 months. I like it more than I ever have, and I feel like this is also sort of our, you know, theory on Too Fast, Too Forever. We're either going to love all of these movies at some point or hate all these movies, and I feel like I'm on the road to loving it, even though I don't like it as much as, you know, most of the other movies.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on here. We're at part 8 of the franchise, right? So, like, you know, you can't really just come into this one cold. This is only the 3rd time I've watched this movie. I saw it in theaters.
Well, you know what they say, Mike, 3rd time's a charm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other avenue to explore with that show, if the third watching of a movie is anything to talk about. But anyway, we'll get there. But I watched it in theaters, then I watched the extended cut at some point when I got the DVD or Blu-ray.
Which is bad.
Which I can't really, I don't know what's extended about it. I watched it so long, I didn't
check it out. We
looked it up,
and it wasn't, it wasn't anything that helps anything.
Okay. It's an extra 20 minutes of, like,
dialogue.
Slightly extended scenes and, like, extra lines and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's definitely not worth it.
Okay, yeah. And then for this, I just watched the original cut.
Yep.
I still think this movie's a lot of fun. Like, sure, it's definitely got its shortcomings. It's not the best. It's not it's not my least favorite. So that's just a little clue there for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that the Charlize thread is weak, but I don't think it's her fault. Like, I think the problem is...
Yep.
We saw some of this the year before in Spectre, where they tried to tie, like, the whole Daniel Craig Bond, you know, movies together by saying all those villains were working for Spectre and they were all a part of the same organization. It's sort of like the same exact thing here with
Cypher.
You
don't like the villains coming back? Because I kind of like that part of it.
It's not so much that I don't like that, because the universe already established revisiting people in prison in part 6, I think it was, right? Or something. Yeah, so like we're going back to characters already. It's just that I don't think like this is new enough for someone of her caliber. If you're going to bring in Charlize, don't just redo this sort of lame, already done storyline about a villain who's just like in charge of all the bad guys. She's like the main bad guy, and she's like a hacker. I'm just still kind of tired with the whole hacker thing.
Same.
I think we're just getting too far away from the roots at this point. It's super into soap opera land right now. You know, the idea of evil Dom, you know, Dom is bad, that whole thing. It's just like, it reminds me of like mirror Star Trek stuff. Like, we're going real easy this time around. Like, this is just like this super easy plot to go with, and so for that, like, it's, you know, it's tough. It's still a lot of fun. I liked a lot of the characters, but unfortunately, yeah, the Charlize thing is sort of like the least successful aspects of this movie.
I agree with all the points that you made. Something that we talked about last time, actually, we talked about it with Brian. It wasn't about this movie, but Brian asked us a good question on Too Fast, Too Forever, like, to rank the bad guys.
Yeah.
In Fast and the Furious. And Joey and I, like, both said that Cypher's, like, the end of the list. Like,
No. We didn't say that. We said that she was a wild card. Like, she sort of existed outside the list.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's, like, the most like, because we were, like, ranking them by badassness and, like, which ones we liked. And
she's,
we were, like,
Blofeld, you know? Like, she's the boss.
Well, she doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but she
has, like,
neither
did Blofeld. He stroked a cat. Like, he never even saw his face for most of the movies, but I hear you.
Yeah, she just has, like, she's, like, she is the ultimate bad guy, but at the same time, like, she's not really badass with what she's doing. She just has, like, God mode turned on or something, right?
Yeah.
Like, she just has, like, the cheat codes on.
God's eye mode?
Oh.
And then they're stealing the nuke football, which is just, like, again, like, that's in, you know, so many Bond films and so many movies. It's just not a, it's just, again, like, I can't see, like, the Fast team chasing nukes again or anything. Like, it just seems too big to me.
Yeah.
Her whole thing is accountability, right? Like, that's what her goal is. She wants world leaders to be accountable.
Is that really what her goal is?
She says that at the end, right?
Okay,
Mike?
I'm curious because I missed it.
I was going to actually ask you guys because I couldn't figure out her plan other than to get Dom to do what she wanted him
right.
to do for him. You know, like, I didn't get the old, and we still don't know. She gets away at the end. So, like, whatever that is, they're trying to keep that a mystery, maybe? It beats me. And all so far we know is that she's been collecting technology, I guess, to steal these codes? Ugh, it's so weak.
They don't do a very good job of explaining her end goal. She just comes in and she's like, she's the super bad guy. They're like, she could hack, like, governments and, like, stock markets and everything. And you're like, but why? Like, why is she... Like, she doesn't have the whole, like, avenge of her brother, you know what I mean? Like, avenging her brother, like, on any of these things that the bad guys had in the earlier ones.
Yeah.
So...
It would have been cool if her brother was the dude from part two that Brian and Roman put away or something.
Yeah,
you know, like, if she
exactly.
was connected back through the movies a little better, weaved in there somehow, some way.
So I'm looking online. I searched because she has this speech at the end, and I feel like it is sort of vague, but she says something about accountability. And so I Googled Cypher Accountability, Fate of the Furious, and there is this story on quote-unquote story. It's basically
fanfiction.net.
On cinemablend.com, that wonders who she is. One thing says that she's a DSS agent gone rogue, you know, like Mr. Nobody's thing.
Oh,
like
what if it's his daughter? Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Another theory is that she's related to Brian. She's related to Paul Walker.
This is what I was thinking. That's how I was going to tie it in. When Mike just said tie it back in, I was going to be like, she's like either like Brian's sister or like Brian's half-sister that he didn't know about or something like that.
Yeah, it's a soap opera, you know, like...
And if Brian's not going to be in this, and they do the whole like, oh, we can't call Brian in on this, it would have been great that we couldn't call him in because it was his sister. You know what I mean? Like, we can't let him know that this is what she's doing.
But I feel like if that was the case, they should have said it in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, if that's the... Because like, they say in this movie, they make such a point of being like, we can't call Brian and Mia in. It doesn't have to be that scene, but it has to be in this movie. Like, it can't be in the next movie. Like,
no,
oh, I remember why we didn't call him in? Because it was his sister. Like, that doesn't work. That sort of seems... You know, we've talked a lot
about... The
moment's
past or so.
Justice for Han, right? And about how, like, Jason Statham, the Owen Shaw character, kills Han, and they sort of retrofitted that. And why... You know, our fan over there, Wes, doesn't hate Owen or doesn't really think, you know, there's just like whatever, because he feels like that was just retrofitted to bring another star into the movie, which we liked and we sort of appreciated. Like, I feel like if in the next movie they're like, oh, yeah, she's Brian's sister, it would feel sort of cheap. I feel like there's other things on this list, like the fact that she's a DSS agent gone rogue or whatever, could have been, should have been set in this movie, but maybe it wouldn't be as tacked on if they do it in a future movie. You know what I mean?
Did they say her character's actual name in this? Because, I mean, they could still...
I think it's just
Cypher. Yeah, because they could still do something, not connecting to Brian or anything, but, I mean, they still have time to sort of, you know, wedge her in and course correct it somehow.
Because here's the other thing. So another theory is that she's an ex-girlfriend of Dom that he hasn't talked about, but I also feel like that would have
it would have come out in this movie.
Yeah. The reason I found this list is because this theory, which is kind of cool, is that she's a secret Shaw family member. So that, like, in 6 and 7, there was Deckard and Owen were the main bad guys, and she calls on both of them here in some facet, and they say, if Owen, which is Jason Statham, only agreed to try and steal the Nightshade device so his sister could fulfill the family's dream of accountability being called for by the politicians that sent himself and his brother into the line of fire so easily, you'd have a hell of a family drama to resolve over the next two films.
That's
so true. I like that idea. But, I mean, I also feel like that would have...
been here. They would have hinted at it. There would have been some, at least some Easter eggs. Like, we would be able to piece it together. Like, the mom is in it, so she would have had to know something about... You know what I mean? There would have had to be something else about this.
I also have a feeling they just wanted to kind of keep it simple with her because the main focus is supposed to be between Dom and the team and all that kind of thing. They kind of play Cypher fast and loose a little bit here. She's just more of a presence, I feel. She spends all of her time mostly on that airplane. Like, that...
She's
that
always on... She's on the airplane the whole time. She doesn't
like
the airplane.
Yeah, like, I don't like that she's never really behind the wheel of a car or being chased or racing or trying to catch somebody, like, and we don't see that she's also some awesome precision driver and can do all that kind of shit too.
Yeah, even if she would have been like using a computer and like doing like the auto drive type thing that they
use. Well, she's like, okay, so like that weirded me out too, because I didn't notice it until this time. She's got like two geeky minions doing all of her hacking, right? She's got like the one Asian kid and then like the one white bread kid, and they're sort of like controlling everything. So is she even the hacker, or is she just like
the
brains? Right, she just seems like the mastermind to me. Like, she's not even a hacker. Like, when Ramses thinks that she's like an organization, not a person, and everything, and it's like, oh no, that's like the thing. Like, she's the cover, she's like the fun. She is the organization, I feel, and like, I don't know if they did a good enough job leaving it at that. I don't, or if they did, I wish they didn't. I wish they, like I said, had her out in the field more, like doing more shit, getting more down and dirty, and like actually like beating up Michelle Rodriguez or something.
I feel like that might be like, you know, thinking she's an organization is sort of in a way like a reference or an allusion to The Matrix, where we find out that Trinity is a woman. Not that we really know Trinity before that, but you know what I mean? But, like, Neo is like, oh, shit, she's like, you know, most guys do. Like, most guys think that I'm a guy.
She looks like one of the ghost twins, too, actually, with that hair.
And, Joe, who else does she look like? Who you said from the very jump?
Sway. Gone in 60 Seconds. She's just a clone of Sway. They just made her look just like her. She looks just
Angelina
like her.
Jolie.
Which, you know, Mike, here's a little bit of an Easter egg for any Too Fast, Too Forever fans who have followed us over here. When I made the Brady Bunch Facebook cover photo for our page, Too Fast, Too Forever, Sway is in one of those because Joe's like, just throw it in there. Like, she looks like she belongs anyway. She looks like Charlize, you know, just nobody's going to notice. And so far, nobody has noticed.
She looks just like Charlize in it, so.
It amazes me how Gone in 60 Seconds could have easily spawned into something like this in retrospect.
Yep.
You know, like if they had tried to like do a second and third and keep that, make that a franchise, and it was a franchise. The original goes to, I think, two or three films. So like, it's kind of funny it never got a sequel. But then again, we know Joey like Cage just isn't a sequel man. Like
yep.
Maybe he was approached, and because he wasn't attached, they decided not to go with it or whatever reason. But like, yeah, I totally just see it now how it...
Sphinx and Sway spinoffs.
Yeah, sort of, right? Like, I don't know. They came out within a year of each other. I remember seeing them both in theaters.
Just give me, like, police procedurals with, you know, Delroy Lindo and Timothy Oliphant.
That's what I want. Oh, that
but,
would be great.
You know, speaking of car movies that we've talked about on the network, this is another F. Gary Gray movie, last seen on this show, directing The Italian Job, which we talked about on that episode and also on Too Fast, Too Forever, that The Italian Job 2 became Fast 5.
Yes.
That instead of doing
Crazy.
The Brazilian Job, it became Fast 5, which is... You know, the first, like, truly, I mean, we love Tokyo Drift, but, like, Fast 5 is, like, the first, like, truly incredible. 5 and 6 are, like, just the best.
Yeah.
And,
that's where
you know,
it found its footing.
To see, like, you know, to talk about a movie that could have become this, like, we literally saw a Charlize Car movie that became this. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
That's crazy
that
she's... And it's insane that she's in the one that I like to call him F. Gary Gary because I just like to. But, like, it's crazy
enough,
he's in that. I wonder if they approached even... He was like, oh, like, let's bring in Charlize. Like, she's great. Like, I worked with her before. It was the same type of movie, all this kind of thing. Like, that whole incest there behind the scenes is so interesting to me. Like, it just screams how Hollywood works.
I always want to know these stories, too. I have a question for both of you guys. We kind of, like, alluded to it, but we haven't said it out loud yet. At the end of the movie, Cypher jumps off the plane. Is she coming back or no?
I would like to, because I want to like this character, because I want to like a Charlize character, and I don't like her yet because she's sort of boring. Whether or not she comes back as part of the family, or if she's part of a bigger villainous plot in 9 and 10, like, I would like her to come back. I think they're leaving that window open. I don't know what 9 and 10 are going to be about, because it just needs to be... The only thing I know is that it's going to be crazier than what happened. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it's about other than it's just bigger.
If she does come back, so we don't know if she's going to be part of the family or not. I'm trying to figure out, like, what would happen. Like, there has to be, like, some bad guy that's, like, above her or something. You know what I mean? I'm trying to, like, write her into the next movie, and I'm trying to figure out, like, how it would work.
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like she... isn't gonna be in the next movie, but maybe come in the one after that, because the way I hear it is like they're writing these last few as like a connected story that, you know, they obviously brought her in to fill sort of a gap without Paul Walker being there. They sort of needed like new star power. I bet she signed like a 2 or 3 picture deal, and that this is just sort of like the introduction of her character in some way, and that we don't even really, you know, we don't even know her name. So like, I feel like we don't even really know Cypher. Like, they haven't even scratched the surface with this character. So hopefully she's gonna come back. And I mean, she came back for the freaking Huntsman sequel, for crying out
she
loud.
She did.
Like, you know, like,
but that was also her first sequel. You know what I mean? Like, you said Kate doesn't do sequels, but that's her first sequel. It's not like this is a common thing for her.
No, but I mean, like, she's game for the franchise thing. Like, I feel like she's willing to play ball and see, like, where this can go and hold on to a character longer and try and see how that changes. And that could be interesting. I definitely hope she's contractually obligated to appear in more of these movies.
But I also wonder, like, I would like that, but I also wonder, in today's media prevalent society, like, if she signed a multi-picture deal, I think we would know about it.
Maybe.
I don't know, man. I mean, then, like, I feel like they would have killed her off, or maybe she'll just come back in the beginning to be killed off, like, in the opening chase sequence.
You know what I think it is? Is I think that really they test the waters after the movie drops, because like after they killed off Han and everybody was like, damn, Han was really cool, bring him back, and Letty same thing, that they have to write her open-ended, so if people were like, she was the best villain ever, they could write her back in. And if everybody's like, she sucks, we don't want any more Charlize, they could just be like, okay, she's gone. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, just trying to cover their bases.
That's what I think it is. Because I think that at this point they've learned that you need to, like, pull the audience of, like, what the audience really wants in the next films.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how they were doing it.
You know what I kind of felt was, like, it's tough because Brian's not here. And, like, his presence is definitely, you know, his lack of presence is definitely felt just from, like, a character dynamic perspective.
Yeah.
You know,
I
just feel like we have too many of the same people going on here. And maybe they didn't do this because... it was too soon after Paul Walker actually passing, and it might not have been like respectful. But then again, actually, they do this. So this is what I'm getting at, and I really so you know how they kill Elena, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting at is I felt like a major team member needed to bite the dust, you know, because like that was so big in part six. Then it was huge to bring the death of Han back at the beginning of part seven. And I feel like now we have Ramses. The team is growing and changing and morphing. Like, it's got to keep dropping people and picking people up and things like that. And
it
so,
does.
Like,
yeah.
I understand why they may not have wanted to go in that direction. They killed Elena, so she's not like a major, major, major on screen presence, you know, even though she is there off screen a lot. She's Dom's baby mama.
Yeah,
like if Tej, you know, got killed or something like that, and like, you know, Roman took a bullet. I mean, Roman gets jacked by the end of this a little bit, like he almost dies. But
they could have killed off Roman in this. I agree.
I hope they wouldn't want to go with Roman. He's kind of my favorite, but like,
like he could have, like they wrote it like with him, like, you know, in the car flying on the door, like if he didn't just like Superman and like Hulk out at the end,
it would have been good. It's because like I'm invested in his character, so it would have been like a big blow for me at least to see him go out like that. And he does have sort of more of the group screen time in this one as well, like as in between everybody,
you know. In terms of people dying though, I bet by this point, now that these are all $1 billion movies, that all of the actors who have an agent worth their salt have in their contract you can't kill me in the movie.
Well,
because like,
yeah,
if you're not in the movie, like even if you don't, like you're getting paid probably $2 million or whatever,
you can
and
still
then
run,
you probably
promo.
Get some points on the back end, you know what I mean? Like, they're by being just being in these movies, you're sort of set for life. And I feel like, you know, even narratively, if it makes sense to kill Roman or kill whoever, I feel like anybody who has a decent contract has it in there, like, you can't die. Like, that's sort of when franchises become too big. They become so profitable that, like, you're kind of hamstrung by the creative choices you can have.
Yeah.
It's the same thing sort of on TV shows. Like, you can't kill off major TV characters unless you have a show like a Breaking Bad or whatever, where you know it's going to be 5 seasons and you're done. And sort of anything can go. You know what I mean?
Well, we're getting to 10, and they said they're calling it a 10. So if they do that...
But do you really believe that?
No, I don't.
Not
because they're
heart,
spinning
no.
shit off, you know? Like, that's the point. Like, that's why they're not killing people
off. But you
off,
can kill
they're
people
spinning
off,
them off
and do prequel. Like, you can find out about the two Spanish twins, as we call them. You know what I mean? In a prequel movie. Like, you can do...
Rico and Tego.
Yeah, you can go back in time. So, like, they don't have to be set next. Like, we've already established that, like, Tokyo Drift can happen 6 years before, you know, 5 or whatever. So, or 6. And, like, it's totally fine.
I don't know that they're looking to do that again. I think that that was just, like, a major retcon that they saw a golden opportunity. And we're like, let's jump on this. It's going to blow people's minds. It's sort of like, it's never been, it hasn't been done since, really, you know, something, a major move like that through a franchise. So I don't know that they would try and calculate a move like that again necessarily, but I do like the idea of prequels or these like Fast and Furious stories that take place between the different movies, so you could go back and set up these different
you could
teams,
set up in between for sure.
Yeah. And you could bring back, you could have like an adventure with Han and Dom and Giselle, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, you could do a movie like that, and it does, everybody is so freaking good looking nowadays and doesn't age and whatever, so like they all kind of look the same. It
I was thinking
matter.
That this watch too, I was thinking, is there an age limit on these? Because you can see that there's a big difference in the age between Dom at the beginning and Dom now.
Oh, sure.
And Roman at the beginning
guys.
And Roman now.
But it's also been 17 years.
And that's something that I never thought about their ages until this viewing. Because I caught a screen cap of Dom's age, and he's supposed to be 1 year older than me. Vin Diesel can't only be 40, is he? Like, there's no way, is he?
Vin Diesel is 51.
Exactly. And, like, Dom is 40. That blows my mind. Like,
but also,
you know,
I mean, I get that, but also Vin Diesel doesn't look 51. Vin Diesel looks closer
look,
to 40 than 51.
I think he looks closer. I don't know. He looks on the
He's
long end
He's looking older
of 40.
In this one.
Yeah, I just wish that they were sort of... I get it, but, like, it's just weird to me. It's like I never considered them to... I just thought they were ageless, you know
Same.
What I'm saying? They're just superheroes or whatever. So to, like, tag him down like that was a little weird for me. How old is Ramses, do you guys think? Like, she,
Ramsey,
you know, like, she's probably 21 in this universe.
Yeah,
like, she's a very youngster, I bet. But, like, the actor is more, like, on the side of 30 or something. It's weird.
What I wonder is, you know, it's been 17 years since the first one. Has it been 17 years in-universe?
Oh.
No, because we went back in time.
And we jumped into the future, actually, right? Part 3?
Okay, so then maybe... So if you count that... If you take out 2 or 3 years, has it been 14 or 15 years?
It wasn't 2 or 3. It had to be, like, 4.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, if you take out, like... Because every 3 years is a new movie, right? So say you take out... Tokyo Drift, you just sort of whatever, then instead of 8 or 17 years, it's like 14. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I guess it has been.
The timeline is kind of weird because, like, does the movie take...
Do the timeline based on when Dom hooks up with Elena and the child's age now.
So that was 5.
See?
To now.
9 months and the baby's, like, less than a year. It's, like, a couple months old.
So maybe a year and a half. Just round up and just say 2. So it's 2 years between 5 and 8.
Yeah.
Whereas in real life, it was 6 years between 5 and 8.
Yeah, it's like the Rocky timeline, you know? Like, it's never going to sync up properly. Like, kids age, like, 3 years between movies that take place a year apart. Like, it's out of control.
Yeah. That was an interesting thought. That was weird to think about. My brain's still trying to process it. Thank you guys for bringing that up.
No, I mean, yeah, you could. It's like a party game. Like, we could go over this at Camp Cage Club if we went, like, all night long and try and, like, work out the timeline with strings on the wall and, like, pictures of every character.
The Charlie Day picture from Always Sunny. Yes. We just have it all lined up. We're like, this is how old everybody is in Fast and Furious.
Look at this. Jesus Christ, Charlie. That right there is the mail. Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail for you all day, okay? Pepe Silvia, this name keeps coming up over and over again. Every day, Pepe's mail's getting sent back to me. Pepe Silvia, Pepe Silvia. I look in the mail. Well, this whole box is Pepe Silvia. So I say to myself, I gotta find this guy. I gotta go up to his office. I gotta put his mail in the guy's goddamn hands. Otherwise, he's never gonna get it. He's gonna keep coming back down here. So I go up to Pepe's office. And what do I find out, Mac? What do I find out? There is no Pepe Silvia.
We were talking about it before, but just about the Italian Job. There's a couple people. Jason Statham was also in the Italian Job, so this is a reunion there.
Damn it. You know, I put that movie way out of my... The only one I remember that is Mark Wahlberg, Charlize Theron, and Most Deaf. Everyone else and whatever else
Edward
happened
Norton
in that
was
movie.
In it.
Oh,
Edward
that's
Norton,
right.
The worst part of the movie.
It's a damn good movie. I know that you guys weren't
it's
a huge
not,
fan.
But okay. Charlize Theron and Michelle Rodriguez were both together in Battle in Seattle, which is a crossover episode between this
what
show
up?
And Magic Mike's.
Shout out to Townsend.
And F. Gary Gray, not related to this, but F. Gary Gray also directed The Rock, who I don't remember him in this movie, so I've only seen it once, probably 12 years ago, in Be Cool, which I didn't know he directed, and I didn't know The Rock was in, so...
Interesting.
The sequel to Get Shorty.
I never saw that one, okay.
It's not great.
There's a lot of early Rock stuff that I haven't seen, like The Rundown, I never seen that yet.
Well, when we inevitably do a The Rock, you know, lap or two or three...
The hardest lap?
Rock, Paper, Scissors lap.
Rock, Paper, Scissors, I like it.
Where we're going to rotate movies by The Rock, songs that sample Paper Planes by M.I.A.,
Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands or the Scissor Sisters.
Oh, the Barbershop movies. You can watch those.
No, but yeah, we'll do that because there's like, we were talking about, you know, we're the first lap we've talked about on that show, on our show, is that we're going to do the Paul Walker Memorial lap. But I feel like, you know, Vin Diesel and The Rock have both been in so many cool things, or not even cool things, but like things I feel like are important to knowing them that I just straight up haven't seen.
Yeah.
But, and plus we have infinite time, so.
Infinite, nothing but time. We definitely
Well, I mean, you have until like... our bodies expire, basically. Like, yeah. I know what you're saying, though, but, like, yeah.
You know, Mike, one thing that I was thinking about in this movie that relates to your other podcast, Third Time's a Charm, that we're going to eventually talk about Triple X, Return of Xander Cage.
Yes,
Vin Diesel
yes.
also on a plane in that movie, but that scene is so much funnier because you remember there's that, like, assistant or whatever who is just thirsty for Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
And I thought when we watched this last time for Too Fast, Too Forever, I was confusing the two movies. And I was like, where is that girl? Because she was like the best part. This girl who was just like, could not stop fawning over Xander Cage, which is...
Xander Cage super fan, yeah.
Yes. And I realized while watching it this time that she's in Triple X, which I can't wait to rewatch. I've never seen the first two, so eventually, whenever it will be on Third Times.
It's going to be sooner than later, but let me just say that book is insane. Like, it is hilarious. I'm having such a good time reading that book. But, oh, yeah, so, like, it's weird because that movie, I think here's the deal. That movie, the good guys have the S.H.I.E.L.D. jet, you know, like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. plane where, like, they have, it's just like a command center. And in this movie, the bad guys have it. So I think that's why it's not working for me. But it works so much better in XXX3, which sounds so weird to say.
I just feel it's just boring in this. Like, I feel like this series has... always constantly pitted the heroes against the villains, either in car races or hand-to-hand combat, and for Charlize to basically be hiding in the sky.
And to be hands-off.
And yeah. Literally just outsmarting the group. Yeah, hands-off. It just feels cheap.
I'm getting back to what Mike said, where just like, I'm just sick of hacker movies. And yeah. Like, we had fucking Ramses in the last one. Two hacker ones in a row? Like, come on, can you guys come up with something different for me, please?
But this time she's an evil hacker.
Yeah, but Ramsey was like an evil hacker too. Like,
I know, but then they turned her good with the power of sexual
family?
Harassment.
With family
and also
love.
Family.
Yeah, I don't ever see. I don't think they're ever gonna reform Cypher. Like, there's no way that she's gonna be part of the family after what kidnapping Dom's baby, like,
and killing,
I mean,
his baby mom. That's true.
Yeah,
justice for Han. Yeah. Justice for Elena.
I mean, I would forgive Jason Statham, I think, before I'd forgive Charlize Theron for the deeds they do in these movies to sit down and break bread with them.
Yeah, true.
The bigger question, Mike, I want to talk about in terms of Charlize is how often has she played the villain? She was.
I was
going to
ask
White,
you guys this.
Obviously.
This in my notes.
A couple times. I mean, do you count? Now, this is a stretch, but do you count That Thing You Do as maybe not the
no,
villain?
No, because
but...
I feel like that's similar to like the Burning Plane, where she's more of like
just
a
not
foil
compatible
than an antagonist.
There you
of.
Go. Okay, good call. Yeah,
Hancock is similar, where she's not the bad guy, the evil, the villain, but she's not necessarily aligned with Hancock.
Stretching my mind right now.
I'm
to
just looking
back
at the list. I'm trying to see.
And think. I mean, Children of the Corn. She got possessed by, you know, He Who Walks Beyond the Rose, but
that doesn't count.
Her foot. She then just got destroyed by the killer corn at the end of that, with like the teenage murder fest in the back lot.
Oh, Reindeer
great
Games.
Movie. Reindeer Games, that's right. That's
but,
that.
But that's a little different in that both this movie and the Snow White movies, you know that she's the villain from the whole time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Snow White, she's chewing the scenery.
Yes.
Left and right. What about Monster?
Monster, she's not... I mean, she's the story's hero. She's not good, but she's the hero.
I see.
Reindeer Games is interesting just because it's such a reversal that you don't know that she's evil until the last 15 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. And then, I guess, the Astronaut's Wife, same thing. Like, she's literally good until the end, and then she becomes possessed. That's also sort of like Children of the Corn. A lot of early stuff going on in her career where she gets possessed and turns evil.
I'm just bummed, like, after watching the amazing, incredible Atomic Blonde, which, oh, man, now that I got my new TV, I gotta rewatch it. I'm just pissed that Charlize didn't throw down in this movie, that she didn't, like, do those killer Atomic
Blonde
moves. I think
that's it.
Moves.
If she would have done one, like, good fight scene... I think they could have salvaged a lot of what we're not liking right now.
Like, Jason Statham, like, the brother Shaw, the Shaw brothers, which, by the way...
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, right? Like, so they jump in the plane. Like, I'm shocked that she didn't try and take them both out, like, and pull some Krav Maga crap, and then need to sort of, like, retreat and, like, grab one of those jetpacks in their backpack or parachute and just, like... jump out of the plane. You know what I mean? Like, it would have been a great moment at the end there to be like, I could take both these guys right now, but I gotta escape the plane because it's crashing. Kind of
or
situation.
At least killed, you know what, now that I'm thinking about it, she should have at least killed Deckard.
Yeah, get Deckard out of here.
Because if Owen's going to be
in coming back?
Maybe.
He's not interesting to me at all. I thought, like, I'd never expected him to come back in this movie. That was kind of a
shocker.
And
he has a very tiny part, too. It's pretty funny.
I feel like there is a certain level of cool that she has her henchmen do everything for her, that she is so powerful, in a sense, that she actually, like, has other people do her work for her. I think there's,
like,
an element there of cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
the wild thing, or the wildling that she has?
Yeah, yeah.
That guy's awesome looking. Yeah,
yeah,
he's great.
But at the same time, that doesn't make for a satisfying movie, especially when like, she's the main bad guy. Like, I feel like that works when you also have the skills to back it up, which she might have, but the movie never lets us know one way or the other if she does. You know? Like, I feel like you can be sort of in the background, but then you better come out like a Shaw Brothers movie and then be, like, the ultimate badass who, like, puts up, like, the one hell of a fight.
Yeah.
To just run isn't satisfying.
Yeah.
The retreat. Again, like, that, again, makes me just, it feels like Blofeld all over, because, like, he was, like, a cripple, you know? Like, he couldn't fight. And so, like, anytime Bond got close, like, he would just run away because he was, like, a feeble old man. He was just a brain. He was, like, a brainiac. But here, like, they had the opportunity to be, like, take that trope and turn it around and say, like, oh, no, like, she's sort of, like, this godfather figure among the bad guys, but when push comes to shove, like, maybe she took that seat, sort of, like, I think of, like, Mama from Dread, if you guys have seen the Dread movie, how like mm-hmm. the story of the drunk, the drug
speaking
kingpin
of Game of Thrones.
That. Yeah, there you go. Like she, you know, they have a great quick backstory about how she like took control of that that block and stuff. And so when push came to shove, like she could actually throw down and shit. So it's just a missed opportunity. It's a bit of a bummer here.
Because I feel like there's no reason to fear her. Like we don't know. Like she might have just been, she might just be incredibly rich and hired the right people. You know what I mean? Like she could just be, we don't know enough about her to be afraid of her. Like the movie's like, you should be afraid of her, but the movie's also not saying why we should be afraid of her.
Yeah, I feel a little more like we're supposed to be afraid of Dom. Like everyone's afraid of what Dom's going to do because she's controlling him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like they're not even afraid of Ramses. They're afraid of Ramses because she's controlling Dom. Like, you know, he's the Terminator in this movie.
So one of my biggest complaints about Charlize in this movie, though, is just the blue contacts throw me for such a fucking loop
they
every time I look at
jarring.
Her.
Jarring.
They're very, very scary. And I know that we talked about it when we were talking about this movie last time, but did you catch it this time that Dom actually comments on them?
Yeah, yes. No, we talked about it, I think, in our Fate of the Furious episode.
We talked about it, but I didn't... This is the first time I like remembered that he specifically calls her out on the fake contacts and the fake hair.
Because he basically says, like, you know, you're filled with shit. Like, you got brown eyes. Like, your contacts can't hide your shit-filled eyes, basically. We've definitely talked about that on Too Fast, Too Forever.
Yeah, we talked about it, but I mean, like, just when I was watching it now, maybe I forgot about it or something, but, like, I realized, like, I know that we were talking, because I think you asked me if I noticed that there's something different about her, and I said, yeah, I caught the blue contacts off the jump, like, it was, like, really weird to see.
Well, it's, like, the contacts and the dreads and, like, shaved eyebrows or something, like,
yeah.
Her forehead is strange, like, there's something going on with that.
I also think she has, like, a really bad makeup artist in this, like, she doesn't, like, she's so beautiful and like all these other movies we see, and they kind of like make her not as attractive in this for some reason, which like she could have just still been like as beautiful as she normally is and like everything else, but and it wouldn't have taken away from her bad guy-ness.
I just got the sense that they're not as focused on her like total package altogether. Like there's a lot of moving parts in this movie, and a lot of them can sort of move on their own, you know, like especially the stuff with the team. Like all those characters are already pretty much well defined. Like you just have to do a little correcting with Jason Statham Shaw. Sorry, I forget the Shaw brothers.
Owen.
Who's who?
Owen.
Owen. Yeah. You just have to do like a little tweaking with him, but for the most part, like you don't really have to like change anything. And she's like one of the only like fresh new elements, and it just feels like they didn't really spend a lot of time like trying to figure out like what's unique about her.
Yep.
Like the thing about the dreads, it just makes me think of like a Medusa sort of thing, where you know, like a Gorgon, just like the idea of like a bitch or something, you know, and like that is just like not enough these days to be like, oh, she's just pissed off at everything and like she's an ice queen again. Like, you know, and I think that's why they gave her those eyes too, to be like these piercing blue cold eyes of a frigid bitch. And like that just sucks. Like that's just not enough in this day and age.
I'm rewatching it now as we're recording. I have it on muted in the background, and there is the most that she does in this movie. So like basically she does two things. Number one, she stalks Dom in Havana, right? Like she goes down there and...
Yeah, so she is off the plane. I was wrong. Like I didn't think
she
was.
But then the other thing that I forgot about is when they use God's eye, she uses that to locate them, and then she and Dom come in like tactical gear, and she looks so badass. Like they do the mm-hmm. you know, advanced fragmentation mm-hmm. grenades or the flashbangs or whatever, and everybody gets knocked down, and she comes in like basically like a black leather jumpsuit with a gun, you know, hair pulled back, like not in the crazy dreads, and she looks badass. And all she does is walk through the scene, pull out like essentially a hard drive, kiss Dom in front of Letty, and they leave. And that's, like, her big action scene. Like, she doesn't shoot... I don't think she shoots a bullet. Dom's one shooting the glass out. She's just there to, like... It's posturing. Like, it feels yes. like... What would have made this movie more interesting, and I guess could sort of, in retrospect, in a future movie, is if, like, she's really fragile. She, like, this is all, like, a front for some reason. She's unable to do things on her own for some reason. It feels like lazy writing. But if it was smarter, if there was a reason behind why she doesn't want to hurt them, like, you know, the theories we're talking about before, or why she's unable to actually do whatever, there's the ability to explore her character And this movie just has no interest in doing that.
I just think we don't have enough time. With all the other guys that we have in and where we're at.
Dude, the full cut is 2.5 hours. How do we not have time?
But, well, we're just not spending enough time with her and her motivations and her plan because it's just not, like, cool and fun and, like, new enough and, like, interesting enough or anything. That's, like, a problem right
now
there,
Now that I think about it, she probably gets as much screen time as any of the bad guys in any of the movies.
I would say she probably gets more. More than
exactly.
DK. More than Johnny Tran. You know, more than whatever the... I forget his name. Connor? Who's the guy in Too Fast, Too Furious?
Yeah.
The
he has a Hispanic name. I forget it.
More than anyone really... Maybe Deckard gets more in 6.
Yeah.
And Owen gets a bunch in 7. But, like, I don't know if this was in the Stats of the Furious, that really great thing on Bloomberg. She gets more screen time than I think most, if not all, of their villains. They just don't use it.
Because, like you were saying, like, DK, like... You don't see much of DK, but the stuff that you do get, like, really hones in who he is, his relationship with his uncle, his motivations, everything like that.
I love DK as, like, as a character. Like, he's definitely multidimensional.
And he doesn't get much screen time. Like, he doesn't have, much more than Charlize does. I don't want to blame it on lazy writing, but I kind of feel like it is.
Yeah, they're just burning through that whole thing. I think you're right. Like, it's not that there's enough time. It's just that they're not focused on it. Like, I like where you're going, Joey, with the idea of, like, there has to be a reason why she's not doing this herself. Why she's, like, accumulating all these people over the course of 4 or 5 movies, and, you know, we're just finding out about her now, and she's been in the shadows. Like, why all that? And it's like, she can't be working for somebody because, like, this is her end game. It doesn't feel like it. Like, the climax is cool and fun, but it doesn't feel like the climax of a person who's had a plan over the course of 5 movies.
Right.
Like, at least Spectre kind of felt like, oh, I've just been trying to fuck with James Bond and get him to, like, go crazy and, like, not trust anyone, get paranoid until he slips up and, like, causes a catastrophe or something. Like, I'm trying to get him to slip up. Like, I don't have any impact here. So, like, it's weird when she comes back, how she'll come back is very curious because, like, in this movie, she tried to launch nuclear missiles, like, at Earth, you know, and, like, blow up, like, the world and shit. Like, it doesn't, like, for her, it really seems like we should have gotten a shot of her trying to open her parachute and there's, like, no parachute, and, like, she just plummets to the ground in, like, a Wile E. Coyote poof of smoke or something.
I think you're onto something. She has to have a bigger motivation. They have to be saving something for us. Like, if you're not just gonna, like, nuke the Earth and then, like, you just get away and you're done.
Shit, this has to be it, dude. They've been talking about going to space. What if she's a fucking alien? What if she's, like, recon for the aliens, and, like, she's been doing all this stuff to get, like, the planet ready.
She's predator.
And then when that's why they go to space. Like, she's got a moon base or something.
Oh,
I hope so. I really hope so.
My biggest problem with Charlize in this movie, beyond anything that we talked about, hands down, is that she's using plastic seat covers in Cuba when she's driving that Jeep. And that has to be the hottest, stickiest, grossest thing I can imagine having. Like, humid, hot, and she has, like, grandma protecting her couch plastic seat covers. And I was just like, I'm so done with you right now. Like, I can't even take this. Also, maybe that just shows how much of an evil villain she is. You're just like, you know what? I like sticking to the back of this seat and just, like, pulling
it
off.
You know what? What I couldn't... Okay, so that scene when she, like, tricks Dom or whatever, that when they meet, they're meat cute or they're meat evil or whatever it is, and they're meat bad. They're bad meat. Well, I'm going to stop. But the thing I...
The meat ugly.
The thing I couldn't get out of my mind was that Dom goes, let me check. It looks like your solenoid is out of places. I was like, holy shit, War of the Worlds. When he's like, you gotta replace the solenoid. Remember? You're not picking up in War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise and Channing Tatum.
Oh yeah, not Channing Tatum.
Like the guy's car breaks, and he did like 5 or 6 times. They say check the solenoid, this that.
I don't remember the movie,
even wondering if that was a real thing. She says it, and they use it in this movie. I started dying of laughter because all I could think about is Tom Cruise.
No, I didn't remember that at all. But that's awesome that you connected those two things. I'm glad that you bridged those two movies together somehow.
I think when Joe and I watched War of the Worlds for Magic Mike's, we were only focused on why isn't Channing Tatum in this movie? Why are we watching this at all? I don't think we watched it for
we were trying to put Channing Tatum into it and hoping that we could see him. Like, we were like, oh, he's not in it, but we're like, maybe we'll just get like a flash of him. So like, I was like watching super deep, see if I could see him, you know?
Well, maybe you'll have the opportunity to talk about that movie at some point in the distant future again.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Time might tell.
I don't know if I have a lot more to say about this. I'm trying not to go too crazy in depth. You know what I mean? Like we said before.
No, I think we're doing really good about keeping to Charlize.
Oh, yeah. We didn't mention The Rock once. So, like, we're doing really good, you know? And there's so much to talk about with just him. So,
I know.
Saving it.
This is a crossover promotion. Like, if you want to hear us talk about The Rock, go check out the Lap 1 episode. Lap 2, I'm not sure who's going to be the guest for that. But then Lap 3 in a year-ish, Mike will be on there talking about this movie in full gory detail. So
when Charlize is playing flustered in the end of the movie, like when she's kind of like on her heels, do you think her acting is very good?
You mean like when, which part? Like when Dom blocks the car with the truck and does the little secret rendezvous and she's like, I need eyes on Dom. I need eyes on him.
No, not so much that part. Like later when they're like, she's like, shoot the missile at them. And he's like, I got this. And she's, and you know, he like turns it around and like throws it. And like when she's like losing the like submarine controls, I've seen her in lots of other things and she's very good in them. So in this, it really felt like she kind of mailed it in.
She's acting to screens the whole movie, you know, like that's half the problem. She's just like in a plane with a bunch of dudes sitting down staring at computer screens and she's just like looking at like a tablet or, you know, a monitor, and she's just like yelling at a TV screen. So like, yeah, I feel like the lack of human interaction, like those scenes are definitely weak for sure. Like,
she makes me feel like when I would like take a bunch of antidepressants, but then like my mom would say something that I needed to be like shocked about, and I'd be like, oh, whoa.
Just doesn't register.
Yeah, you know, like it just like hits you late and you're like, yeah, and you're like trying to have emotion but you don't. I don't know, like why it feels like she's like stifled. That's the word for it.
Because I feel like when she's not acting at screens, like, that's not...
Yeah.
It's okay, but, like, even if she's, like, in... When, like, the submarine shit is, like, going down and everything, and like, she's losing control and stuff, like, I don't know. I'm not feeling her panic as much as...
The panic. It's a lack of panic, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's because the team is losing their shit at that moment, and, like, Roman's trying to speak Russian, and, like...
Maybe they're pulling all kinds of buttons.
Like, it's going, like, Looney Tunes on the other end of the spectrum, so, like, it's very hard to take, like, the melodramatic Charlize Theron character seriously in this one.
Does she do a lot of this, like... sexy whispering in other movies? Because I don't remember it too much.
Okay, so here's why I don't think it worked, because she wasn't using one of her accents or something. Like, she did that shit in the first Snow White, which is a pretty cool movie, and like she's amazing in it, and she goes from like zero, she's like talking
get
close, and then as soon as you're close she's like yelling at your fucking face. Like,
it's
awesome.
The equivalent, which we haven't gotten to yet, Jeb, but when we get to Jupiter Ascending, just wait for Eddie Redmayne. Like, it's not as good as that, but it's close.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
It's just, like, super campy, crazy, like, over-the-top stuff, like, swinging pendulum type of thing, like, really low, really loud.
Yeah, that's cool, but I don't think she really ever gets, like, loud with Dom. She just does, like, lots of, like, sexy whispering at him. The sexy whisper is, like, Dom's thing in Fast and the Furious, right? Like, he's always like, it's got none but time, you know? And, like, this kind of thing. And, like, Charlize is trying to, like, do it back to him, and I'm like, my brain's a little thrown off. I'm like, wait, is that coming from him or her? And then you have to, like, figure it out.
I feel, again, though, like, that whole thing is, like, this is how we're gonna make her super intimidating. You know what I mean? But, like, they don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just supposed to make, I mean, inherently, like, it makes everything just seem a little more intense.
It's
when
scary
you're...
if they whisper.
Yeah,
I guess, but like she's on her own private plane. just use your normal fucking voice. Like, okay.
Anybody else have anything else to say about Fate of the Furious before we go to the other segments that we do on the show and then talk about this again in more detail in a year?
No, sorry, I got all of my Charlize things out.
No, I think, yeah. Joe and I have not done IMDb trivia yet on Too Fast, Too Forever. We're saving that for like when we really run out of things to say.
Yeah.
I looked at this case, but I just did a Control F for Cypher, an Apple F for Cypher, so I found some stuff. The only thing of note that I want to mention here is that, obviously, she plays Furiosa in Mad Max Fury Road. Here, it's sort of Fate of the Furiosa, kind of. But yeah. Also, in one scene, she wears a vintage Metallica Metal Up Your Ass shirt, which was their first album before it got renamed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was that what they renamed it? Kill 'Em All?
Kill 'Em All was originally called Metal Up Your Ass, which was somebody... Wow. It was a toilet bowl with a fist coming out with a knife in the hand.
Yes.
And that is the only Metallica album that I really, really like, because it's essentially it's like a Megadeth album.
Yeah, that's cool. The great Cliff Burton. It's awesome, yeah.
But yeah, so she's wearing one of those... I think when she's on the plane, just casually at one point, which is cool. Like, it's like, I think she's got like an iPod at one point, or she's like listening to stuff. Like, feel like the movie's like, here's things that you can infer about her, but we're not going to actually tell you anything, which is fine in a good movie. Like, not that this isn't a good movie, but like in like a drama or like, you know, a thing where like the details matter, that's fine. But in this movie, where literally everything else is in your face, which is what I love about it, don't let us infer things. Tell us things.
I really want, now that you said that, I just had an imagination in my head that at some point in one of the Fast and the Furious movies, that Too Fast, Too Forever gets popular enough that like somebody has it open in another tab.
Oh.
Like when they're like hacking something, like Too Fast, Too Forever is like...
Wait, what? You think you're gonna like...
I wanted to get so meta. I wanted to get so meta and for us to get so big that one of the like hacker characters was like listening to Too Fast, Too Forever, like
that'd be hilarious
on the computer screen. And like as it pans, you just like see them listening to it, or like their phone blinks and like before the message comes up, they were like listening to Too Fast, Too Forever. That's what I want.
Obviously, I would love it.
I'd love to see, you know, like Cage in one of these, or actually, I think Keanu would be a better fit, but either of those guys showing up in a future installment, maybe that'd be kind of interesting. And not even in like a huge role, but I could see Cage coming in as like
Mr.
Nobody's boss.
Exactly.
But like his boss, like...
Yeah, I'm down. That's the first
like
thing I thought.
Maybe brother. Keanu, I could see coming in as like a villain or something. That'd be fun.
And I mean, I think we might have talked about it. I don't remember, but like this franchise just adds more and more attractive people. Like, where's Zac Efron? Why is he not in this?
True.
Or Gosling or Channing. Any of the guys that we do.
Oh, dude, Channing would fit perfect. Yeah.
I think so.
I want them to... They got to bring back more of the Tokyo Drift crew. Like, DK, I could totally see him working for Cypher at some point, you know, something like that. Bow Wow, bring back... Like, Bow Wow, like, if they killed off Tej and then... Drop back Bow Wow, whereas like
we don't kill off Tej, just bring back Bow Wow.
Alright, just bring Bow Wow. Because I feel like they need someone to come in and be like, you're the badass mechanic. Like, be the mechanic, you know? And like, I feel like Bow Wow would be a good version of that. So, he was great in them.
Yeah. I always want Bow Wow back.
Our first game, the only game that we play here, Unfortunate Improv. Joe, I don't think you've played this. We definitely told you about it, because we're going to play it, maybe, maybe not. I don't remember. It's called Stan Lee Yourself. So, if you won a walk-on role into Fate of the Furious,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a role that exists already or one you would add, what would you be? Who would you be? What would you be doing? One thing I noticed, which is a little funny, you know, like in the opening scene of this movie where Dom wins the Cuban Mile and
yeah.
then he's surrounded by all the Cubans and they're all like celebrating, they're like so happy that Dom did it. If you watch individual people in a crowd, it looks insane. Like, it's just like just watch, like I picked out like two different people and there's this girl who's
yeah.
like standing next to the guy who he beat in the race. And she like just like puts her fist up and then like sort of like slowly pumps it a little bit and then it cuts away and the entire crowd is like looking in, but there's one girl who's looking at Dom and Letty walking away and she does a fist pump. She like just like a up down like yes, like he did it, like, but like why are you doing that? Like, I think the direction was probably like put your hands up and just like look like you're excited. But if you watch individual people in these scenes,
yeah.
it's bananas. So just go back when we watch
that.
It, you know, if you want to watch it again here, just like for a quick second, or because a crowd scene, it works. It feels like it's exciting. But like if you watch any individual person,
it falls apart. I wonder if, yeah, because I mean, they shot that in Havana, right? So, I mean, does F. Gary, you know, even... you know, speak the language. Like, there could have just been, you know, a miscommunication to some degree with some of those extras. You know, they may not have spoken English, but, like, that's all. I've actually, you know, movies I've seen, like, four or five times, I kind of start paying closer attention to the background. And, you know, there is some truly crazy shit in a lot of movies that you never see.
All right, so, Joe, if you want a role, do you have an idea of what you would do, a
Absolutely.
Walk-on role in this movie?
Absolutely. I would be the baby.
Oh. Now that's you're blazing new ground here, but I like it. I mean, we only got two more of these to do, and I can't believe that nobody's picked that yet. That would be, to be fair, the baby's the best part of this movie. The baby's the best actor in this movie.
Exactly. I want to be the baby. I don't want to come back for extra movies. Like, you can replace me with another guy. But, like, it would be really, really dope if, like, that... Like, if you, like, grew up and you were like, yeah, you remember, like, Fast 8? And everybody's like, yeah, dude, I love Fast and Furious. You're like, I was that baby. They'd be like, what? Be like, yeah, I was that baby. Or maybe they could just, like, they could do, like, face swap and put my face on the baby.
Like, well, that's what I was thinking. Like, you'd be a normal head on a baby body or something.
They need to pay two people for this part now? They have to pay the baby, and they also have to pay you?
Yeah, I'll give them my face rights for, like, $25. Like, I don't need much. I just want to be in it. But, yeah, that's my first. That is the first thing that came to my head when you said I could pick my, like, Stan Lee myself. So
I like it. Mike, what's your... Jeez. Who would you be?
That's a tough one to beat. I'm thinking, like, can I just be, like, a model of a type of car or something? Like, can I be a...
What is going on? We've played this game with my real rules the entire time, and then Joe says he wants to be a baby, and now all of a sudden, societal rules don't apply anymore.
Just devolved?
Okay. I'm just joking. No, I actually had an idea. Like,
there are literally so many people in this movie. Like, there wall to wall in, like, all of these scenes.
I think I'm giving myself the most role, the most of a role that I've given myself yet in any movie. But okay, so I'm going to be during the prison breakout.
Okay.
During the prison break, I play one of the riot cops and I charge the Rock, and the Rock just fucking punches my helmet off so you can tell it's me. You know, so you get like a quick look at me. And then I start to say, motherfuck, and the Rock just picks me up and throws me over the railing.
Nice.
And I land on like three other guys. And I just go like, ugh.
There's one thing in that scene that I didn't pick up on the first couple times I saw this movie. The Rock slides from the upper balcony to the lower level. Like, he slides under a rail and lands on his feet. Like, that is super cool.
That scene's just awesome. It's great. And the Rock just, like, kills, like, 20 people on the way out, and Mr. Nobody's like, cool, you guys are back.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that went exactly as I planned.
Yeah.
You murdered all those inmates. Good job. Let's go. Let's continue on with this quest.
This is one thing that we've noticed on Too Fast, Too Forever. Like, early on, nobody really dies. Only a couple of people die. But this movie, they're, like, straight up just murdering dozens of people. Like,
cops.
All over the place. Like, all those, like, security guards in Berlin. All these cops, like, no respect for human life at all. No.
They're on the most wanted list now. Like, they're all
Interpol,
still, like, criminals,
Top 10 and also just outside the top 10. I think maybe it might just be because I'm watching the scene now, but I think one of the most fun things that you could have fun with, or one of the things you could have the most fun with in this movie as an extra, is when a dumb scene, I think, because it's the hacking stuff, but when all the cars come to life when Cypher has one of her lackeys hack all the cars with a zero-day exploit.
Yeah.
I either want to be a driver who can't control his car anymore, a passenger who's terrified, or someone like in that auto dealership that's just like sitting at the desk just watching a car drive out on its own. Like, I think that these are sort of the greatest general, like, extras reactions in this entire movie, because it's just it is insane. Like, if this started happening, like, people would lose their goddamn minds. And I think it'd be super cool just to be one of those and be like, I don't know what's going on. I have no control right now.
When you said this, and when you said, like, okay, maybe not be the baby because, like, it doesn't match my age, I was thinking when all the cars come out of the garage, the guy with the suit that, like, walks out and is like, huh? Like, that guy, I would like to have been him, too. That would be pretty cool.
I like that. We do have an email address here on the show, watch@cageclub.me. No email today. We've not gotten a ton of email here on Watch the Throne.
We've only ever gotten... Two or three.
Yeah, we've gotten a couple, so I mean, you know, we only have two more movies here. We've got Gringo and Tully, but we have another 7 episodes planned, plus more to come when more movies come out. So say hi, let us know what you think of Fate of the Furious or Charlize or whatever. Watch@cageclub.me. So now what's exciting to me is Joe and I don't do awards. We do awards on, you know, Zack Attack. We did it on Zack Attack. We do it on Boyfriend Material and Magic Mike's. But because we're really watching the same 8 movies over and over again...
We can't, do awards,
It's hard to do awards. But for Watch the Throne, we get to nominate this movie for awards, good and bad. So, we don't really have most fun film. We have best of the worst or most fun bad film. This doesn't really fit there. Like, this isn't...
I don't think so. What are your categories? Go down the line for me.
We have a lot, so just strap in. Buckle in. To use a car metaphor, buckle in. Best film, worst film, no. Best of the worst, no. Most wildly inconsistent tone, no. Craziest ending to a movie that doesn't deserve it, no. Best Charlize role.
Whoa, wait, I mean, hold on. You don't think, like, the ending of this movie, naming
that
the
doesn't deserve it?
Which ending?
Well, there's the multiple submarine? Crazy. There's well, I love the submarine actually, but I would say the baby in the plane thing, all the way up to revealing his name.
Oh
is
no,
like
but
some
I think this
craziest...
movie absolutely deserves. Like everything in these movies, like nothing is unexpected.
Nothing shocks them anymore.
I was shocked that they named the baby Brian instead of Paul. Like, I think that was when it was going around, right, after this movie came out.
Well, yeah, that's
like,
what
that
I
was
said.
Kind of
yeah.
an awkward
yeah.
beat.
But, I mean, it's not like Trapped, which ends with a car chase and a plane. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like,
yes, okay.
it's not a wildly different, like, it is still the same movie.
Yeah, they didn't drive into a plane, that's right. If they would have driven into the submarine to stop it, maybe.
Maybe if the baby was driving the submarine.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I am going to nominate this for worst Charlize role, not her fault, but worst Charlize role, Cypher,
agreed.
The
I
Fate
can
of
agree
Furious.
Unfortunately.
Most wasted Charlize performance. You want to nominate it there too? Or is
yeah.
it...
Yeah,
I right?
I mean, they're sort of part and parcel, right? They go hand in hand.
Most extreme manic pixie dream girl, no. Most sexist film. Aizen might have issues with this, but I feel like we've seen way worse.
I mean, we've seen
in,
way
in
worse.
In the Fastiverse alone, we've seen way worse.
But there's still some really unnecessarily cringy parts between Tej and Ramsey as well.
Oh, yeah. The Roman Tej Ramsey's triangle is pretty bad, yeah.
So here's the thing. Do we want to nominate it for? This is actually a good award. I mean, best character transformation, we don't really have one, but best Charlize outfit or wardrobe. She looks kind of cool in this movie.
I don't know. I wasn't really feeling
that's fine.
Hair and everything and... I don't know. Like I said, I feel like they could have gone way further. Like, it would have been great if they pushed the metal thing even further and she was, like, you know, had, like, ink all over her arms and, you know, was wearing, like, leather jackets with spikes and shit and just, like, hit someone over the head with a fucking guitar at some point. I don't know. Just metal.
Best accent voice doesn't have one, which, you know, Mike said is a problem. Best or worst love story. Best love triangle. She's not really involved in any of those.
No.
Best death she doesn't die. Best non-Charlize death. The swinging, you know, construction ball, the wrecking ball is kind of cool, but there's not, like, a specific death. Is there one character who has a specific, like, a really cool death in this, or no?
When the rock impales that dude, but, like, it's not worth it to add to the list, I don't think.
Okay.
That's the one that sticks out in my head.
Best fight, there are cool fights in this, but I feel like best fight is mostly her fight. Like, we could nominate, you know, Hobbs versus Shaw, but, again...
Nah.
Doesn't feel within the whatever.
The realm.
Best line, she's got some cool lines... about how she used a crocodile, but I feel like it's all kind of general sort of threats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get, like, a catchphrase from her, which would have been awesome.
One thing I can guarantee, no one's ready for this.
Oh. Yeah, like, if she had said that 3 or 4 times throughout the movie, it's like, I've got more things people still aren't ready for.
There's one thing you don't have, a parachute.
Oh.
There was one other one that what was the thing that I Googled? Let me see if I can find this again. To the world out there, I am the crocodile. And then that's when, you know, she talks about how Dom's a tiger or whatever, but she's a crocodile and blah, 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 blah. You know, let me see here. Here's a quote. This is kind of a cool line, I guess, you know, especially for Too Fast, Too Forever. Why live only a quarter mile at a time when you can live your whole life that way?
Yes.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, I heard that one. I had that one in my notes, yeah.
So we got best line. She doesn't really have a freak out. Like, the next category is best freak out. We don't really have that. Best cinematography, I think this movie looks good.
No, but it's not like best cinematography in any sense.
We're also going to whittle that down, I think.
Part 2 looks better, to be quite honest. Like, I love, like, because I thought this was pretty colorful, especially towards the ends with the cars, but just watching Part 2 last month, I was like, nah, doesn't measure up.
Okay. Best song, best score, soundtrack, no. Dance scene, no. Here's the exciting thing for me. So first off, best musician turned actor... Ludacris.
Yeah. Hmm. Or Tyrese, for that matter.
Also, Tyrese.
Yeah.
Best and worst non-Charlize actor, male and female. We could nominate The Rock. Best.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love him.
I also kind of want to nominate Jason Statham.
I'm leaning more towards The Rock.
This is The Rock's, like, standout movie, I would say.
Just because he was missing in the last one so much, and he's back in such a force here.
His name is Lucas Hobbs, right? Yeah, what's his name?
Is it?
Luke Hobbs, yeah, okay.
Luke?
Yep.
I never knew that.
Luke, okay. I'm your father.
He's got a sister too, right? They mentioned that his daughter's with his sister. So, like, who are they going to cast as his sister in future installments?
Ooh.
And is she like a badass just like him?
I hope it's Domino from Deadpool and Van from
Zazie
Atlanta.
Beats.
Yeah, I hope it's her.
I think she's too young, but that'd be cool.
I mean, well, his sister doesn't need to be of any age. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
It's his sister. It's
yeah,
like
I mean,
hand.
Dom's... Vin Diesel's playing a guy 10 years younger than himself. So.
Anybody else best or worst non-Charlize in this movie?
No, I think... I don't think anybody's like really like that bad in this movie besides her, but that's like her character, not her.
Yeah. So we have 6 nominees for this movie. We have worst role, most wasted performance, best line, best male actor... and then best musician turned actor, which we also might get rid of. Mike and I have a lot of tough decisions to be made because we have so many categories. So in 3 episodes, in 3 weeks, we will be announcing the golden... What do we...
Oh, the chrome teeth?
The black and chrome teeth.
Oh,
yeah. So we will... Or grills. We can call it grills because that could also double as car stuff. You know what I mean? Like for...
Oh, there we go.
Fury Road.
Sure.
Who knows? We'll figure it out. But in 3 weeks, we are going to announce who the nominees are. Anybody listening can vote in the polls. And then sometime a couple weeks after that,
voting.
The polls will close.
I'm going to be definitely voting.
Good. I hope so. And then we will vote and we will tally the votes, have a live results show on air. Not live. I don't know why I said that. We'll see who the winners are. But between now and then, Mike and I are going to whittle this list down because we have an insane... We have 7 pages single space right now in Google Docs of awards, which is too many things.
Whoops.
We will get there.
Well, we've been trying to like occupy our minds during this, you know, run of Cage Club here with the, you know what I mean? Like at the end of these episodes, we needed to really like sort of have some fun and just shake it out at the end of some of these movies.
The final thing we do on the show is we do plug another podcast. I think, you know, we've done it throughout this entire thing, but if you like this movie and if you want to hear us talk about it more in depth, go check out the Fate of the Furious episode on Too Fast, Too Forever. We talk about these movies on repeat forever, Joe 2 and I. And like we said, starting in about 6.5 months or so, Mike will be on for close to a year. So go check out Too Fast, Too Forever.
I'm so excited for that.
I'm loving the thematic. I get to keep it the theme of 3 to be on the third lap.
Oh, yeah.
It's working out nice.
I'm also super, super excited to do like a 3-hour... multi-super crossover event between our show, Third Time's a Charm, and High School Summer Party for Tokyo Drift.
Oh, yeah, Tokyo Drift episode's going to be fucking epic, folks, when we get there.
I'm going to edit one of those 3.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to figure out how that goes.
Isn't it going
to
be just like one? I want it to just be like the same. I just want everybody to just do everything. We do like every game, every nomination, every fucking
everything.
What just
happened was, you know, there was a Grease crossover between Wistful Thinking and High School Slumber Party, and they covered most of the movie on Wistful Thinking, which I feel like will cover most of the movie on Too Fast, Too Forever. Then we can go to High School Slumber Party, for instance, and talk about the high school elements of that and play Brian's games and stuff like that. Then go to Third Time's a Charm, and we can talk about the franchise as a whole and how it fits in with that. So we can sort of talk about different parts of the movie with all 3, but each of the different things... So we're absolutely going to play all the games. It's just not going to be like what we did for Battle in Seattle, where it was everything on 1. It's going to be split up so that if you want to hear the whole thing, just like for Wistful Thinking and High School Slumber Party about Grease, you've got to listen to all 3 shows. So the real true beauty of the crossover. Yeah.
You know what I loved about that reminds me? When I was a little kid, I used to read comics, and like a Spider-Man story would sort of cross over into a Daredevil story, and you'd have to go collect Daredevil for 2 months to get the whole thing.
Yep.
And like, yeah, you'd get introduced to a whole new section of the Marvel Universe or something. So like, yeah, go. It helps like open up and explore the other corners of the Cage Club universe.
I agree.
If that doesn't sound too complicated to you, that will be on or about June 1st of next year, 2019.
Oh,
Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, 3-way crossover. This Too Fast, Too Forever, Third Time's a Charm, High School Slumber Party. Thank you so much, Joe. I almost didn't thank you because I feel like you're just part of...
I'm just here, man. I would have taken offense to it. No worries. I love being with you guys. I love talking to you and Mike, so
yeah,
I'm always
down. It's the triumvirate of sorts. But, you know, go catch me and Joe on Too Fast, Too Forever and our other shows, Boyfriend Material and Magic Mike's, and also Zack Attack, which is sort of in hibernation until a new Zeff movie comes out, which...
Oh, but that new trailer dropped.
It did? The Bundy
one?
Yeah,
the one with Matthew McConaughey,
Beach Bum,
isn't it?
Ooh,
Beach
I
Bums.
Didn't see the
trailer trailer's
it.
Out there, so...
Which, you know, that saying, they you know. Showed a sneak preview of that in Brooklyn July, and it's not coming out till like February, so I can't imagine whatever they showed there is going to be the same thing. I mean, maybe... I don't know, because I feel like I've seen movies way earlier, but it just feels so early. Like, I thought it was supposed to come out this year, but it's not until like February or March of next year. So I don't know why it's taking so long, but, you know, it is. You check us out, you know, go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, and at cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. We have a newsletter. Go to cageclub.me/newsletter. Sign up. Let us email you the best of the best. You know, if there's a lot going on, it's hard for me to even keep track of it all. I do my best. But if you want to get a digest of the best things that the shows have to offer, you know, the best episodes, crossover events, new shows, new hosts, whatever, go to cageclub.me/newsletter, sign it up. I'll only email you once a month on the first of the month. Learn a little bit more about the goings-on here at the Cage Club Podcast Network. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And that was Joe 2 of the Too Fast, Too Forever podcast, and a bunch of others, including a new one that we're going to announce soon. And we'll see you next time right here for Gringo on Watch the Throne.
I'm with the gang, 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 and we about to go up. Switching lanes, it's a thing every time we show up. You a lame, 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 and you so below us. Bet your hoe she know us, cause you know we glowed up. We stay down.